thought for today. Takers lose, givers win. Takers lose, givers win. Do you know what a taker is? A taker is somebody who's always out to have, get a free handout, get a free lunch, get something for free. A taker is always interested in having people invite them places and having people take them. They're called freeloaders. And a freeloader is someone that is not a very happy person to have around. Now, why is a freeloader not fun to have around? Because a freeloader doesn't feel like they belong to the party. They don't feel like they belong to whatever is going on. They're just there to load up free on the food and the entertainment. Someone comes up to them and talks and says, "Don't you think that Mrs. Jones is fascinating, that her bridal gown is so lovely, and her husband, my, what a gentleman he is." And you don't know them. You've never met them. You're there at their wedding reception, but you weren't at the wedding because you didn't think the wedding would be any fun. You wanted to go only to the reception so you could eat and enjoy yourself. So they're talking to you. They're talking to you thinking that you know something. Now, if you were just not a taker, if you were a giver too, you would say, "Oh yes, and she is going to go places with that." "Oh, really? Where do you think she's going to go?" "Oh, she can only go up. She can only go to the top of the ladder." "Oh, really? What ladder is she climbing?" But see, people don't ask those intelligent questions. They just say, "Oh, you bet she's going up. Oh, yes, she's got talent. Yes, and did you hear her sing La Traviata the other night?" And you say, "No, I missed that. That would have been one of my great treasures." "Oh, it was so great. She sang it, and she sang it as a sang it very well. And and it was just really delightful." And you can add lines anywhere you want and talk as though you really know what you're talking about. And in fact, what you could say at that point, if you're a taker that wants to be a giver, you could say, "Do you remember when she was a little girl and she used to perform in front of the family?" Every little girl performs in front of the family. "And she used to perform in front of the family, and how she would get so nervous. She'd get so nervous, and then for us kids in the backyard, she'd come out and she'd belt out a performance for us, and she wasn't nervous at all. She was only nervous around the adults." Interesting, huh? Really interesting. She's quite a person. She's quite a marvelous being, and I'm certainly delighted to know her. "Oh, you must have known her a long time, all the time from her childhood." "Oh, yes. We're friends from way, way back." "Oh, here she comes now. Janet, here's a friend of yours from way back." And you just keep playing the game, and you say, "Jeanette, it's so good to see you again. I read in the newspaper about your party, and so I came. Do you remember when we were little children and you were putting on a performance for the adults in the house and you were so nervous, and then you went out in the backyard just for us kids and you belted out the songs like a troubadour and you were wonderful. Do you remember?" She says, "Yeah, oh sure, I remember that." Everyone does. She says, "What's your name?" And I say, "Well, I'm Johnny from next." "Johnny? Oh, wonderful. Johnny Trevorrow. How great to see you. Gee, it's terrific. You know, you're marvelous, you know." And of course she picks him. Johnny is anybody's name, you know. Heinz is not anybody's name. Herbert's not anybody's name. But Johnny and Freddie and stuff like that. You got to take real simple names.
Tony.
Only in an Italian community. But Johnny and Freddie, these are generic type names, you know. Like the word Smith and Jones, generic type names. But if you're going to take and you want to be a giver too, play the game. Play the party. If you go and say, "Oh, Ellen, you did such a beautiful job on your talk yesterday." And Ellen says, "Oh, thank you. How do you think I could improve?" And if you're a giver, you'll say improve. You would want to improve on perfection, you know. Or how could you improve? Well, I can tell you one thing, Ellen. You're the best, but even the best can always improve. I'd go to a vocal teacher and ask her how to project your voice. You're good, you can be heard, but you can't be heard easily. People have to strain their ears to hear you when they're in the back of the audience. Oh, thank you. What's your name? Thank you, Marlis. It's so nice of you to to give me that advice. I probably have needed it for a long time, but I never knew it. Everyone just tells me that I'm great, and they never tell me how I can be greater. Thank you so much. You are a real friend. You see, when a taker learns how to be a giver, they are really welcome wherever they go. But most takers only learn how to be takers. They only learn how to be sappers, to take energy and take interest from people and give nothing back. You say, oh, Ellen, you were so great. Ellen, you were so great. You did so wonderful. Well, where do you think I was the best? Oh, in everything, you know. Thanks a lot. That's a sapper. And a person, what?
Sometimes it is so.
yes. Rarely, sometimes it is so. That's right. But a sapper who wants to be a giver would say to you, well, you always are good, and you always seem like you improve between each talk. But there's one thing that you do during each talk. You get your hand going. Your hand wants to go up here and scratch your head. Your hand wants to go tickle your nose. Your hand wants to move around your face. Take that hand and hold it down and say, down, boy, down. And don't let it be a distraction. Because when your hand is up, you know, and getting people's attention, you know, away from what you're talking, you don't want to do that. You want to keep those hands down. And people whose hands travel like that are very distracting talkers, you know. You know, and when they're distracting talkers, they make it difficult for you to follow them. But let's look at a giver once. Givers always win. Why do givers win? Givers win because they're always giving. They're always sharing. They don't stop for 1 minute and think that it must be something for them. They don't stop for 1 minute and think that it must be something that they must have. For instance, I had spare ribs last night. And it was a special gift that Ellen brought for me because she thought it would be so wonderful. And instead of just giving it to me, saying, Herb, this is a treat just for you, she lets everybody smell it. So everybody, oh, that smells so good. Oh, that smells so good. I wish I had some too, you know. And you create a conflict. Because the minute I hear that everyone wishes they had it too, I want to take it and divide it up into pieces so everyone can have a piece. And that is absolutely wrong. I should never be made to feel guilty for having a special present. And I'm made to feel guilty having a special present if everybody wants it. And the thing is, what do I like to drink? I like to drink root beer. And not all the time, just at parties, you know. And so now everybody else seems to be taking to root beer too, which is just fine, but then you must always make sure there's plenty of root beer on hand. But I'll probably go to something different just to be different and see whether you all pick up the bait or whether you really do like root beer or whether you just like it. What, you don't like it? Well, why did you ask for it?
I wanted to taste it because it seemed one of these original ones, I thought.
Oh, you mean you felt that root beer varied in taste from...
Yeah,
from well,
so.
Root beer is always made out of roots.
Yeah.
And it's always basically the same. And it's a sweet taste.
Yeah.
Like, now ginger ale is not a sweet taste. That's nice too.
That's nice.
That you like, yeah. Well, do you ever buy that?
Not lately, no.
No, do you ever buy it?
I used to, yeah.
Okay. Well, the thing is, we want to be givers. And when we're givers, we don't want to have strings attached to the givenness. And so when you attach strings to the givenness, then, see my hand go up here? Then you have problems in knowing what the givenness is going to be. You know, sit on my hand here. There. Keep it down there. Okay. So you want to know what the givenness is going to be. So how does a person give? How does a person just plain give without any expectation of returning, without any expectation of somebody else coming in and wanting to be part of it? How do you do that? How do you really create that sort of a situation for yourself where you just plain give? Well, we were at May's and we were talking about Kip's demise, and we were telling May about it, and she didn't like it at all, which is understandable. Kip's her husband. Your husband died. No, that's not right. You know, and it's right. So we had a few in the family who were saying, don't talk about it, don't talk about it, don't shake the boat, don't make her unhappy. And I thought, we must say it about it sometime, and when we're all here now, that's nice. And so I brought it up. And I brought up everybody in the group. I was a total giver. I gave everybody on the sacrificial altar. And I told about Trevor. May was saying there's not much to live for. And I said, well, you have Trevor, your grandson. This is the boy you raised. It's the boy who's now got a girlfriend, Amy, and they're shacking up together. And this is a boy that you raised who is now preparing himself to be a Supreme Court justice. And he's sharp, and he speaks well, and he does everything good. But that's who you're training. And she says, Mira. And I said, and your sister is here. And she's your twin sister, and you love her. Yeah. And your daughter is here, Lindy. She thinks you're just great. She loves you. And your son, Scott, is here. And he loves you. And then Scott's wife is here, Carrie. She loves you. And also Linda's husband, T, he loves you. And she didn't bat an eye. But she woke up a little bit. She woke up a little bit and wanted to fight with me a little bit. And I thought that was just great. But to be a giver, you have to constantly be giving. You have to constantly be bringing up things that makes the other person not only feel good, but look at things from a different point of view. And so for about an hour and a half, I was batting back and forth with May on these various things. You'd think she would have got tired, but she just was enlivened by the whole affair. And she just got more and more exciting. And so we talked and talked and talked, and I can see why Marie made the remark that she did and why others made the remark that they did. Herb, you're doing a great job as a minister. You're doing a great job as a counselor. Because of what? They didn't have to get involved. They could just sit on the sidelines and let me do the fielding and let me do all the things that were done. But it takes a giver to do that. You have to be someone who doesn't need praise. Now, while I was talking, while I was sharing, while I was giving all of these thoughts to them, I did not at any time hear them say, oh, Herbie, that's great. Oh, Herbie, you said that's so great. Oh, Herbie. But I did hear them say, May, hit him. I'll hold him. You know, go ahead, hit him. I'll hold him. And, you know, trying to get May's dander up. And did pretty good. Because she came right close. She says, I still got strength in this hand. I can really push it on through, you know. And it's great. But you see, when you like yourself, when you're harmonious with yourself, everything else works out. You don't have to worry about whether things are going to be right. You don't have to worry about whether everything's going to be harmonious and good. It just is. It's just like on the tape here of the memorial service. There were times on the tape when we had silence. There were times on the tape when we had good talking, times on the tape for lots of things. But it never felt like there was an empty spot, because it was a properly timed thing. And I had the whole thing organized on the paper, and much of it was carried through. And wherever there was a pause was where I didn't know that it was going to happen. Now, should I ever attend a military funeral again, I'll know about these pauses. And as I introduced the talk, I said, we are now preparing to go to the altar. And Alan says, my God, you think it's a presidential funeral, you know, but it's a funeral for a private individual. But you see, she told me something there. She told me that if I dialogue it, like in the presidential funerals, it's much more interesting than silent time. But you could hear the birds singing. You could hear the waterfall, the sprinklers, and you could hear all these things. But you have to keep going. You have to keep going. You have to keep giving dialogue. Even if you're running out, or even if you're falling asleep, or whatever is happening, you got to give dialogue. And you can give it. And you can do beautiful things. So, think about that. Takers lose, because if you are just a taker, you have no fun. Winners are those who give. So, let's practice being winners, shall we? And enjoy it, and see just how wonderful life can be with it. I love you.